The content in this audio recording provides general information, however, it does not substitute legal advice or opinion. Information is best used in conjunction with legal advice from an experienced member of our team. How to financially separate from a spouse or partner? Do's and don'ts. The first step in financially separating from a spouse or partner is to be alive to the issues that can go wrong. When you are informed, you can make better decisions. In our work as family lawyers, we see where people go wrong if they do not take steps to become informed. They can create minor issues or result in a costly and stressful process. We've compiled a list of what you need to know, as well as steps to take or avoid when embarking on a financial separation from your partner or spouse. Financially separating from a spouse or partner, the do's. There are five of them. The first one is, do get specialist tax, financial planning, and estate planning advice. As early as possible after separation, seek professional advice, not only from a family lawyer, but from accountants, financial planners, and estate lawyers. It is one of the most valuable exercises, and you should do it as early as possible in order to avoid nasty surprises later on. Getting advice from an accountant is important. Particularly if you or your former partner have interests in trusts and companies that you may not wish to unwind due to the end of the relationship, or that you want to transfer money or assets out of. There may be tax implications to the proposal you decide to make, which you should be aware of before entering into negotiations, such as transferring a company vehicle or making distributions. Seeking tax advice, financial planning and estate planning advice in conjunction with your family lawyer is an incredibly beneficial place to start before you commence any negotiations about who gets what. Financial planners can be a great resource to assist you in working out what type of settlement might suit you depending on your financial circumstances. For example, if you have a lower income and need to live off the property settlement you receive, a financial planner can help you identify what type of assets you might want to retain and help provide clarity about how to best support yourself in the future. This advice is particularly helpful in identifying how the property settlement should be structured. For example, balancing the considerations of retaining a former matrimonial home versus having cash to invest and generate an additional income. How a property pool is divided is not a case of one size fits all. Next on the list of do's is start compiling financial information early. Part of the separation process is compiling what is known as the property pool of everything you and your former spouse or partner own. A good first step is to write down all of the assets, liabilities, and superannuation belonging to you and your former spouse or partner. This may include every bank account, remembering to include those in both sole and joint names, the real property you both own, that is your home, investment properties, and any other property, even if they are owned with someone else, like a sibling or a business partner, and companies or entities you or your partner have an interest in, such as trusts. Other assets and liabilities could include shares in investments, motor vehicles, boats, caravans, motorbikes, jewellery, loans including mortgages, personal loans, vehicle finance, lines of credit, credit cards or other debts, and superannuation. Compiling this list when you separate will help identify the property pool. It is also useful to know what the balances were for each of you at the time of separation so that you can keep an eye on any movement. There are often assets that people overlook early on that need to be considered. So begin by creating a list and add to it or update it as you go. This will be helpful when you go to get legal or financial advice and also helpful in monitoring whether assets are maintained, missing, or depleted. The third action on our list of do's is do be vigilant of your finances and assets. Even if you have a very amicable separation, it is important to keep an eye on your assets and liabilities, particularly in the early days of a separation. If you have large sums of money accessible in bank accounts, in some instances you may want to consider putting joint signatories on those accounts so that you both need to approve any transactions that occur. You may also like to consider setting a limit on the amount that can be withdrawn. For example, if you have an offset account, it may be in your interest to consider putting a limit on how much can be withdrawn from that account. This is because the property pool to be divided is based on what is available at the time you resolve your property settlement, not at the time of separation. If assets are sold or debts incurred post-separation, there could be a significantly diminished pool available for division by the time you actually resolve your property settlement. Getting joint signatories and setting restrictions or limits may not be practical for everyone, especially if you need to access the account or bills need to be paid from these accounts. In these cases, however, vigilance is still important. Try to ensure that the other person is not doing anything inappropriate with those funds or assets, such as withdrawing large sums relevant to your overall situation, without a reason, or selling assets and not telling you where the funds have gone. Regular monitoring will help you minimize the risk of assets being disposed of inappropriately. This is particularly important for the more big-ticket items. If you have large sums of cash, loans, business interests, or if there is a property in only one person's name, keep an eye on it and make sure the property isn't being listed for sale. Keeping vigilant about what the asset pool is composed of now that you've separated and making sure that it doesn't substantially change by the time you go to seek advice is the goal. It is a lot harder to try and get money back after the fact. Getting advice early is the key. Aim to be amicable and transparent. Keeping your separation amicable where possible and taking a commercial approach where you can, rather than making decisions based on emotion, can be easier said than done. It is often, though, a very helpful way to achieve the best possible outcome in a property settlement. In our work as family lawyers, we see that people who are transparent and amicable, however challenging that can be at times, usually have the best opportunity to minimize costs and stress and avoid ending up in drawn-out court battles. Being transparent about your finances and assets is critical in order to comply with your duty of disclosure and assist to narrow the issues early. It is a case of picking your battles with the benefit of legal advice rather than making emotional decisions about particular issues. This will usually serve you well and allow your time and resources to be focused on the issues that will make the bigger difference in your negotiation. The final recommendation in our to-do list is change your passwords. Ensure that you change your passwords for everything. The very first passwords to deal with should include your computer access password or PIN, phone and tablet PINs, your online banking login details, and email account passwords. We have written an in-depth guide located on our website that covers all of the access and security considerations that anyone separating should read. Find it in the blog section of our site. When you are changing your passwords, ensure that you don't change them to a simple or duplicate password or anything else you've used previously. Remember that even the most amicable of separations can and do turn sour. Doing this early on is to protect you for the longer term. Now that we've covered our list of do's when financially separating from a spouse or partner, let's have a look at what not to do. Number one, don't delay the property settlement process. There is a common misconception that the assets you divide in a property settlement are to be based upon what you had at the date of separation. This is, in most cases, incorrect. The assets you divide will be based on the assets you both have on the date that your property settlement agreement is finalized, This includes any post-separation earnings, including increased superannuation, gifts, new purchases such as property, inheritances, and if you're lucky enough, lottery wins. As we've discussed before, if money or assets have been spent or diminished in some other way, what is left is generally what will be available for division. In rare cases, funds are notionally added back to the property pool, but that is the exception, not the rule. It is not uncommon for one person to provide financial support to another person post-separation, such as paying for the mortgage for a year while they are in the home and the other person is not. While we see this often in circumstances where people want to help minimize disruption for the children, or as a way of keeping the family home and maintaining their credit rating, this can create other issues if you cannot continue to make those repayments moving forward. It is best to get advice as soon as possible so you know what you can afford from the start, rather than having to step back from responsibilities later on and causing issues in the property settlement process. Once you have shown that you have the capacity to maintain expenses for a period of time, it is harder legally to stop making the payments into the future. Don't attempt to hide or transfer any assets. Hiding assets or transferring assets into another person's name never ends well. With most assets of monetary value, there is a paper trail that shows where that asset has been transferred to or disposed of. The jurisdiction of the family court is incredibly wide, and the court has significant powers to undo transactions if it can be established that the transactions will defeat a property settlement claim. For anyone who tries to hide or transfer assets to another person, there are often additional consequences. This may have a significant impact on their settlement prospects, having to pay for the legal costs of the other party, and losing credibility with the court. Let's say, for example, someone were to sell a property and not disclose where the proceeds were deposited or how they were spent. Where the court is not satisfied about what has happened to the proceeds, the court has the power to notionally add back the funds to the property pool as being received by that party already. This means that the non-disclosing party receives less of the remaining assets on account of the added back funds that they have already had the benefit of. Don't go it alone. Do not create your own informal agreements without advice or formal documentation. We see many situations where people agreed to certain steps, for example, putting the house on the market and splitting the proceeds, which they do, and then just before the time limit is up, one person comes back for a second slice of the property pool. This can arise because one person needs additional funds, their health has changed since the sale, they realise they should have negotiated differently, or they see the other person doing financially well and wish to have access to that wealth. Often people try to keep lawyers out of their separation, believing they will be financially better off with their verbal or written agreement. But informal arrangements without advice can result in some very dangerous outcomes, as they do not provide the necessary finality. Obtaining legal advice and formalising an agreement in a legally binding way, such as a consent order or a financial agreement, is usually the best course of action. Separation and negotiations are hard, even when the split is amicable, so do it right the first time to avoid having to revisit the whole process again later. Don't vent in the wrong places. Separation often creates significant worry and stress. The process of negotiation can be challenging from both sides. It's incredibly important to be mindful of where you vent your frustration. The likelihood of having to communicate with your ex is increased if you have children together and must be carefully considered. Equally important is how you talk about your ex indirectly. If there is any chance a record of your venting could be presented to a court, then choose your words very carefully or don't vent at all. Email communications, Text messages and social media posts can be captured and shared easily, so it is important to remember that what you put in public, on paper or online in any way, could potentially be used against you. As always, we encourage people to seek the support of professionals who specialise in helping people through the separation and divorce process. And finally, on our list of don'ts, we have: don't pay money or transfer assets informally without advice. It is not uncommon for people to start the process of dividing cash and transferring property without having sought professional advice. Where people have taken funds out of trusts and companies to give to the other person, this can trigger what we call Division 7A implications, which can result in additional taxation liabilities. If you would like to know about this in more detail, we have resources on our website. We also see people transferring cars into other people's names, as well as a range of other steps that can create a number of consequences that take more time, effort, and money to iron out later on. Both you and your former spouse should seek independent legal advice to check if your agreement causes any additional taxation issues. Next steps in how to financially separate from a spouse or partner. Seeking professional advice doesn't mean that you can't be amicable, that you don't want to do a good deal, or that you want to try to take advantage of your former spouse or partner. Getting professional advice means you get to know the options available and insights into the pitfalls that can occur specific to your circumstances. The pitfalls and issues that can arise are different for everyone. It could be in relation to a property that is not in your name, a business that you don't have much visibility over, or money that has been taken post-separation. Even if these issues have already occurred inadvertently, or they are honest or accidental mistakes, you want it picked up regardless. Your advisors are the people who can help manage any potential risks and make sure you can make an informed decision about your options. Separation and divorce is an emotional process, and you may not always be thinking clearly. For example, while an offer to sell something and split the proceeds may sound like a good and sensible idea at the time, you may not be aware of how it could impact your overall property settlement later on. Getting specialist advice from a family lawyer, along with tax, financial planning, and estate planning advice where appropriate, allows you to make all of your decisions from a far more informed position.